welcome everyone. Full spiritual vibe I'm getting, all youth and truth and all people sitting with great postures. This is like the filmmaking bunch. All the people are sitting hunched. This is all the Sadhguru bunch, all looking bright. So I'm here today in conversation with Sadhguru, and the topic for today, or the area we are covering, is youth and truth, and we'll try to stick to stuff that's relevant to us. A lot of questions come from me personally, things that trouble me and things that I wanted to ask someone, and I thought it's a good opportunity. And we picked a bunch of questions from the people as well, from the general youth as well. So I'll start, Sadhguru. Mm-hmm. First of all, welcome to Hyderabad. You must have come several times before, I'm not sure. But
I came here many times even before you were born.
Oh yeah. He was already telling me he's been doing this since 37 years. But I already know he likes Hyderabad because he was appreciating the Hyderabad traffic police. He was like, these guys are good. So first thing, Sadhguru, I think I feel like I probably am a polar opposite of you, because I'm extremely flawed and extremely confused. I think I might have a multiple personality issue happening. I hate giving advice. Sadhguru gives a lot of it.
Really?
Yeah, I hate giving.
No. I never give advice to anybody. I've taken advice from anybody.
Oh, you've never taken as well?
Because I've never took advice, I never give advice.
Okay. So there I've gone wrong. And I think a lot of issues, like I blame human nature in general for a lot of our misgivings. And I have like lots of doubts, questions, fears. And usually like you're drawn to some sort of people, you build a relation, you trust them. And usually these are the people you go to with your fears, with your doubts. These are the people you share your problems with. This is the first time I'm sitting with a completely strange man, a guru, and opening up to these fears and questions. So first thing, Sadhguru, is I would like to get to know you a little bit better. So my first couple of questions are about you. Can I proceed?
Mm-hmm.
My first question is, I'm not as aware as you guys, but I do watch some of his videos, and I'm always surprised by how do you have an answer to everything, like, and most of it makes sense. And my first feeling was,
hey, what do you mean most of it?
As in, like, I asked you about happiness and you sold me inner engineering program. So other than that, like, most, like, and I feel like common sense is very uncommon. That's already very uncommon. And I always wonder, how do you have an answer to everything? Like,
I see, it's like asking, how come you see the tree? How come you see the people? How come you can see the camera? How come you can see ant and bird?
Okay.
No, I just got eyes.
But I can see these things, but I don't have an answer to everything.
No. This is, suppose a person who doesn't have eyes ask this question. You can see a tree also, you can see a bird also, you can see an elephant also. No, I don't see all those things. I just have eyes and it sees everything.
Okay.
So
I basically need to open…
Yes, to bring that clarity. If you have clarity, whatever you see it the way it is. If you don't have clarity, you muddle it up in your mind with all kinds of things. Essentially, this is happening. This is an evolutionary issue in the sense. See, this development of the cerebra, cerebral activity, of this ability to process information and thought the way we are doing it right now, is a new happening in the evolutionary scheme of things. So you have a brain for which you don't have a stable enough body. So the brain is not functioning for you, it's first functioning against you most of the time. What you call as fears, anxieties, troubles, you romanticized all those things in the movies. But essentially, it's your brain working against you. I think very tragically, one Telangana or Hyderabad television anchor recently committed suicide about 4 or 5 months ago, jumped off 5th floor or so, and then she left a note, "My brain is my enemy." Well, it took millions of years to get this brain to this state, and now it becomes your enemy simply because you don't create a stable enough platform. This is all human beings have to do. If you create a stable enough platform, then your intelligence will work for you rather than working against you. When it works against you, you call it stress, you call it anxiety, you call it fears, you call it confusion, you call it madness, but essentially it's just that your intelligence is turned against you. Please don't romanticize this, because your intelligence must work for you. If your intelligence turns against you, there is no force in the universe that can help you ever.
So you're saying if we create a stable enough body to handle this brain, we will…
I said a stable platform.
Platform.
Its body is included.
And how do we create this stable platform?
That's why I gave you the inner engineering program.
How many days is this program?
Oh, this can be just a weekend.
A weekend?
Yes. What we need is 32 hours of focus time.
Okay.
We can format it over the 7 days evenings.
Okay.
Or one strong weekend.
Okay.
But essentially we need 32 hours of focus time.
So my next question was, do you have some sort of superpower, because this sort of clarity you have and how you can analyze everything and give a reply, I find it hard to see men, like very rarely you see a person be able to do this. Now you have explained that it's a stable platform that makes you do it, but so there's a saying that give a man a fish and you'll feed him for a day, teach him fishing and you'll feed him for life. So I wanted to ask you, tell me how to develop this platform so that I don't need to ask you answers. I will go and give people answers. But
you will see this all the time around me. When people come initially, they come with 1,000 questions.
Huh.
As they settle down into practices, they are there for 10-15 years, they have not asked a single question. This doesn't mean all questions got answered, questions dissolved.
So do you think if I do this engineering program, I'll have clarity like you and be able to respond to…
If you do inner engineering program.
Yeah, if I just call it engineering? Okay. If I do that, I will be able to sit and give answers to people like this.
You should also stop acting and be real. I'm real,
Okay. But can you make it clear to me? Because you're I really want
this,
to sit
yes,
and…
this also can grow.
Okay.
And you don't have to do anything. If you don't meddle with it, it'll grow.
Okay. My next question is, like, I am the person I am because of various things that happened in my life, the decisions I've made, how I've faced, like, events happen in your life and how you react to them is how I've become the person I am. I'm wondering what happened to you in your life to make you the person you are today. What is it that happened in your life that made you take this path even? Or why you're sitting there and I'm sitting here? Maybe if those incidents…
I think we have the same kind of chair, just to make sure.
Why you're giving the answers and I'm asking the questions?
Because you have questions.
Why do you have the answer? I'm asking, what is it that happened in your life that turned your life this way?
I asked all the questions that you're thinking of now, and a millionfold more questions…
When you were…
Much earlier than you. And… invested my life into those questions, did not ask those questions casually, did not go and ask somebody else, what about this, what about that. Questions bothered me and I knew… I realized, just listening to the chatter around you, none of them have a clue about anything. So, I invested my life into the questions.
And you found your own answers?
I did not find answers. My head became empty. Even now, it's totally empty and clear. So, if you go and stand in front of a clear mirror, whoever comes, whether konda comes or mountain comes, it will show. So does it mean to say the mirror knows the konda and the mountain and the elephant and the man and the woman who stand in front of the mirror? No, it's just clear.
So right now you're just empty and that's what gives you this clarity, eh?
See, when you say empty, see, it's like this. You have a much smaller beard, but you're trying to pull it.
No, it's just a habit.
When is the shooting?
Maybe in a month.
Need a little longer? Is it the reason why you're pulling it?
No, it's just a habit, but I would love it to grow to that level.
No, why I'm saying this is, our hands or our body can start doing something compulsively. If it becomes very compulsive, then people will say it's an ailment. Otherwise, people will say it's their personality. So personality is a mild ailment. When it gets very strong, people will say, oh, he's gone crazy. Yes? So, when the same happens with your mind, people think it's natural, it's not natural. Mind has become compulsive. Compulsive thoughts, compulsive emotions are happening. People say, this is my personality, this is where… this is how I am. This is not how you are. You have become like this accidentally. As you said, various situations and push and pull of life does this to people. So this is a choice that a human being has, that you either become an accidental person or a conscious person. The significance of being human is that we can be a conscious life. Why we are in some way better than other creatures is not because we are more competent. No, a monkey is far more competent in catching a ball, throwing a ball, whatever you name it. In terms of strength, we are not comparable to other creatures. Only reason is we can live consciously. We can do everything that they do, we do the same things, but we can do it consciously. So if you cannot conduct the process of your mind, emotion and body consciously, then it becomes accidental or compulsive. That is not the way a human being should go, especially you being an actor. If you don't have a personality of your own, whatever person you have to play at that moment, you could be a total that person, rather than becoming a personality yourself. Because personality means a mask, essentially. In the Greek drama, the word persona meant a handheld mask. Those were days, there are only three actors, but there are 10 characters in the drama. So these three guys will take on different masks, hold it and do those dialogues. This is how the drama was done. So when this mask gets stuck to your face and you can't remove it, that's called a personality. So why do you need a personality? To do different kinds of activity, you need different kinds of personality. People who've been around me for long enough, they have this trouble of seeing me. Why will I warn them, see, I'm going to change my persona now. Watch out, I'm going to change everything about me, don't think I've lost it and don't fall off, hang on. Well, some people have the wisdom to hang on, some people will lose it and they'll fall off. Though I warned them 6 months before I changed my personality, completely changing everything about me, the way I even I think and feel, what food I like also I change. Because this is what a human being means.
But you do that consciously.
Consciously.
To what objective, like why, just for a change or?
No, to fulfill different purposes.
Okay, okay, like some spiritual stuff.
There. No. Life purposes. When I was in the mode of consecration of Dhyana Linga, people saw me like a fireball, always intense, spoke very little, rarely smiled. Now they can't believe that. So once that was over, then I told them, see, we've lived on the peaks for too long, time to get down to the valleys and do something more easy and simple. So then I get into the activity in the world, so I change my clothing, I change the way I eat, I change the way I look, I change the way I smile and talk, everything, because now you're reaching out to the world. At that time it was a different goal altogether, now it's a different thing. So accordingly, you do that.
from this conscious living and compulsive behavior, what would you like to tell us? Like, what is better for us? Because we are all just reacting to every day. I'm faced with different situations, and I'm just reacting to them, and I'm doing whatever is in my best interest. And that is shaping the person I become, and I'm making these decisions consciously. Maybe this I'm doing compulsively, but this I don't care about. It doesn't affect my life in any way.
I was just joking.
Yeah. So, but the rest, we are all making conscious, mostly conscious decisions.
See, as you said, you're reacting to situations.
Yeah.
When you say reaction, it means it's compulsive. There is a difference between reacting to something and responding to something.
Okay, maybe wrong vocabulary.
No. There is reaction. You may think through what is your well-being, but still it's a reaction, isn't it?
No, we are also responding to
situations.
I mean,
nobody is 100% this or that. Let's not misunderstand. Somebody is all up there and somebody is all down here. There's no such thing.
Yeah.
Every human being rises and goes down, up and down, happening. But the fundamental thing is, in a day, from the moment you got up today till this moment, hardly a quarter of the day is gone. How much of your thought, emotion, physical activity has been conscious, including your breath and heartbeat and everything else?
Oh, if I have to sit and be… But this is supposed to be involuntary, no? Breath and stuff.
It is involuntary, but are you conscious is the question.
Are you conscious of your breath now, every breath?
See, ask… you can inquire, anybody can inquire, people who are around me, traveling with me, have they ever seen me doing any exercise?
Do you know in the car while we were driving, you would do this with your mustache?
No, yes, that is because today it is all little flared up and before I come to the camera, even now I am doing it. In
so
Tamil Nadu,
this is
some television…
conscious, it's not like me.
No, in Tamil Nadu, some television channels are using, because this is always a problem because I've never cut these things.
Okay.
So I have to do this before I go in front of the camera.
Okay.
And now one Tamil Nadu channel uses a promotional where I'm doing like this, okay? And they made it, projected it in a completely different way. I'm like challenging the people like this. I'm not challenging anybody, I'm straightening out my mustache. Because if I do this or this, it can make my very face look
different,
like this.
Yeah.
So instead of cutting, I'm spending little time on doing this, not separate time when I'm driving. No time wasted.
So now I'll move on to the first question.
From beard to…
It's actually quite a smooth transition, but I think this is the most important question that's bothering the youth today, and it's not only our nation, but across the world, everyone's wondering how to stop hair fall. Like, do you have some solution to this, Sadhguru? I think a lot of us would sleep better. So many of them…
People tell me, this hair care products or the amount of money spent on hair care products on the planet is much bigger than what's spent on education.
Whoa. See how much we are concerned about our hair.
See, I think you must learn from this tree. See how it's growing its hair.
It's lucky that it's growing, for else it's falling.
I think my effort is to shift their focus from their hair to their head.
Okay, so we still don't have a solution for hair fall. Right now it's about the head.
Well, if you keep the head cool, the hair may not fall.
May not.
Well, generally not.
Okay. Why did your hair fall?
Oh, because my hair… because for years, for almost 8 years or so, I wore badly designed helmets.
Oh, you're a biker, okay.
Literally 18-20 hours I was in a helmet, and helmets were not well designed. They were sitting here on the top. They should be holding here, but they were sitting on the top. And I've never cared about my hair.
It doesn't bother you.
There's no hair care. If it's gone, life becomes so much simpler. You don't even have to carry a comb with you. Right now I don't have a mirror with me, but I don't even need a comb if I… the hair goes off, no problem at all. So sometimes I'm searching for a rubber band, so all those problems will go away, I have no issue.
The hair if goes. You have hair fall, relax.
As long as you've got a head, working head, as long as you have a working head, why are you concerned about the hair?
I'm an actor, so I'm concerned mostly people for…
See, if you lose your hair, you can wear whatever kind of wig you want.
No. So our first… So I've divided this question session into certain categories so that it's simpler. So the first category I've kind of called it life, just random miscellaneous questions. So Sadhguru, one thing I've thought about is I don't know much of life that's past me, that's past, that was there before I was born. I don't know of a future after me. I know of the life I have. So I wondered if the purpose of life is to just live and to live it fully according to my whim and fancy. Because this is one thing I know I have with me. So my question is was I right in thinking that the purpose in life is to just live it fully?
100%, live it fully. But living it fully does not mean party every evening. Living it fully means, before you fall dead, you must explore all dimensions of life. Nothing that's possible for a human being should go unexperienced. If you're talking about living fully in that sense, you're on the dot. But later on you added, according to my whim and fancy, that's a problem. Because your whims are not yours, they're social fads. Either you're doing what everybody's doing, or in reaction you're doing what nobody's doing. That's not the way to go towards a full life. But exploring life to its fullest depth and dimension is the really only purpose of life. Otherwise, what else?
But what is this depth and dimension? What are these dimensions that we are supposed to explore?
Is it true that you have a body?
Yes.
Hair or hairless, but body.
Is there.
So body is something that you slowly accumulated over a period of time, isn't it? You're not born like this. So you have a thought process. The content or the data for this thought process, also you accumulate over a period of time. As you say, many things that happened to me, decisions I made, what I did and did not do. Emotions also accumulated. What you accumulate can be yours, cannot be you, isn't it? This samosa, is it you?
It's not.
If you eat it,
I might extract some nutrients from it if there are any.
No, it becomes you, isn't it? This body is just this.
Till it's in
just the food you have eaten, isn't it? So this is not you, but it becomes you. It's not true. It's still not you.
Then
most people don't get the point till you bury them. When you bury them, they understand the body was not me. So what you call as my body, what you call as my mind, is something that you've accumulated. It's like, my car is parked there. If you're… if it's a new car, you think it's you. Because if somebody makes a scratch on it, your heart will break. So, inanimate things are becoming you. This means you are giving up human life totally. When something inanimate becomes you, obviously this phenomenal life and the exuberance of that life is lost. So the moment you get identified with something that you've eaten, the moment you become a samosa, if you eat lot of them, you'll become a triangle like that. Some people don't know when to stop the samosa eating, they will become like a triangle. So, if you think… if you get identified with the samosa, this is me, is it a tragedy or no? Or do you call it as exuberant life?
No, it is a tragedy.
It is a tragedy. So if you get identified with the body, it's a kind of tragedy. If you get identified with the heap of information you have in your mind, that's another kind of tragedy. You're not exploring life, you're just trapped in the physiological and psychological circuit. Instruments that were given for you, for your use and life, have become bigger than life.
But so now we are saying this body is not me, this thought process.
I am not saying, you tell me.
Huh?
Are you samosa?
No, wait. So you spoke about people realize it when they are buried that this body is not me. So that means, are you saying that we exist after the body is buried?
No, no, no.
Then how are they
thinking?
Is
it true, the soil that you see here is what became the food that you eat?
Yeah, from it the plant took nutrients.
Yes.
And, yeah.
The soil became food.
Mm.
Food became flesh and bone.
Mm.
If you get this point right now, you will live a different kind of life. But most people get it only when you bury them. Till then, they don't get it.
I think I'm in that category. After buried,
no,
I
no,
get,
that's why
get
we,
the point.
That is why we stepped out and trying to reach the young people, because we want them to get it now. If they get it now, they can live a phenomenal life, because life is such a great phenomenon. It's the same life. See, when it comes to body, that's your body, this my body. This my mind, that's your mind.
Correct, correct.
But when it comes to life, there is no such thing as my life and your life. There is just life. The tree is also life. The bird is also life. You're also life. The very cosmos is a living cosmos. You just captured some amount of life. That is what life is supposed to be. Life does not… See, today when people say, my life, you're supposed to understand they're talking about their career, they're talking about their relationships, they're talking about their car, they're talking about their home, they're talking about their dog, they're talking about something else, the accessories of life. These are all accessories of life, including your body and your mind. The life is the most precious and the most phenomenal thing happening here. But that is not in your, not even in your experience, what are you talking about, living life completely?
Yeah, because this body and mind is a thing we know, we can see, we can experience and feel reaction to this life you're talking about. I don't know what it is even, none of
us know.
See,
that is like saying, I can't see the air I breathe, so I will live without the air. That's what we did. That's why all the cities are so badly polluted, because we thought we cannot see the air, it doesn't concern me. When you suffocate, it concerns you, right?
So I can feel it when I'm suffocating or
this also,
take a deep
you will
breath.
Also feel it when life is exiting.
When it's exiting, you
yes,
feel
you
it.
Yes, you feel it. Oh. I am saying, isn't it time that you feel it when it's here?
Yeah, I want to.
When it is housed, you must experience it. When it is when it's exiting, you realize, what is the point of that?
For this, if I do inner engineering…
So this is the reason why I have stepped out for this Youth and Truth, because most people think spiritual process is at the last moment of their life. When they are dying, they must know something. I am saying when you're living, when you just started your life, when life is ahead of you, you must know this.
We want to, I want to. I can't speak for everyone, but I definitely want to, and I'm going to try and dig deeper so that I can get to other questions.
See, what is engineering means? What one person thinks magic is actually another person's engineering, isn't it?
Yeah. I agree.
Yes or no?
Yeah, I don't understand how a car functions or how a bulb comes on. For me, it's magic.
I don't admit all this, your fans are watching.
No, I'm quite open about my ignorance levels.
So, it's engineering. But suppose 100 years ago, I brought a phone and made you talk to somebody in another part of the world, you think I'm doing magic,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So, engineering is like that. If you are finely engineered, you look magical. Other people think you are magical, but you know you are well engineered.
Do you think I look magical? Do you think Sadhguru looks magical? I'm not finely engineered then. One thing that always bothered me, Sadhguru, was why do human beings find it so hard to live and let live? Like, I think it's such a simple concept that I will mind my business, I will be happy, you do your thing. Like, countries are messing with each other, religions are messing with each other, castes are messing with each other, people, inside families, people mess with each other. So I'm just like, why can't everyone mind their own business and be happy and do their thing? So why
See,
is
that's a very simplistic desire. If you look at the way we are structuring our lives, it's designed for conflict.
Okay.
Right now, our idea of being happy, happiness means what? You must have this, this, this and this. So whatever that this, this, this and this, it is always in limited quantity. Now, right now as we sit here, between the tree and us there is a conflict. The tree wants to put its roots down into the earth, but because of people have been walking here, as much as she tries, she doesn't get to touch. See, there close to the stem, it touched, but she wants all this because she knows her survival and her prosperity depends on how many roots will find the soil. But we are sitting here drinking tea, we think we are very happy, but we are encroaching because this is the nature of physical world. Because physical world or the physical itself has happened because of a defined boundary. Now, through the physical world, you're trying to achieve something which is not physical in nature. Your happiness was never physical, your joy was never physical, your love was never physical, it's something that you experienced. Certain pleasantness of life within you, which you gave names to it, but now you're trying to achieve the non-physical through physical means, and now as you expand, you will find it doesn't matter if you remove all the trees on the planet, still you're not happy. Not even healthy after some time, forget about happy. So this is always happening. Once we relate our experience of life to what we have and don't have, now conflict is inevitable because what you can have is always limited. Physical is always going to be limited because it's a world of boundaries. Without boundary, there's no physicality, isn't it? Without a defined boundary, there's no physicality. Now you are a Devarkonda. Well, your ancestors settled for a small kingdom, but if you give them little power, they would like to occupy the next kingdom. In the history books, we will write, you know, I come from the Vijayanagar Empire. In the history books, if you read what glorious victories our Krishnadevaraya had, we are all very proud of it. But victories are never glorious, that's what the history books say. Victory is shameful, brings a whole lot of death, injury, widows, orphans. This is how victory is achieved always in a war, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because those who won write the history, they will describe it as glorious.
Yeah.
But those who lost,
misery.
Usually those who lost, lost more people, more wealth, more misery, everything.
Yeah.
So, when we are looking at it this way, that our happiness is in having more, then conflict between individuals, conflict between communities, conflict between nations is inevitable. So this is why spiritual processes become important. This is why do you think I'm coming and meeting all this, all of you film stars and business leaders, all kinds of influencers, is because we want to make spiritual process the mainstream. Spiritual process does not mean looking up, looking down. Your experience of life should transcend the limitations of physical. Something beyond physical, if it's your living experience, you will see and you will do your physical to the extent it's necessary, not to a point of conflict.
So you're saying because of limited resources and
greed? No, 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 because of limited experience. See, right now your entire experience is rooted in body and mind.
Yeah.
Physicality, isn't it?
Yeah.
But physicality wants to expand limitlessly. If you want to expand limitlessly, see, just ask anybody. Right now they have a little property, they want to make a little bigger property.
But this is more for security than just constant expansion, for most of us. Like I can make a bunch of money with what I'm doing, but I know that I just want like maybe two houses and one car.
Why does one man need two houses?
For my parents.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You can have 10 also, that's not my concern.
Yeah, so I'm saying, all I'm saying is, not constantly expanding.
No, no, you will expand. See, your expansion may not be in property. See, if you know money, you'll think only unlimited money. If you know property, you'll think unlimited property. If you know knowledge, unlimited knowledge. If you know fame, you will look at unlimited fame. So, whatever your currency may be, but you can't stop human beings from expanding. So, how much expansion does one want? If I make you, instead of Devarakonda, I'll make you the king of this planet, will you be fulfilled?
No.
Because you will look at the other planets, you look at the other galaxies.
As in first I'll say, I don't want to be king of the planet, I don't
No, I'm not planning to make you. Suppose we make you the king of the planet, immediately you will look up, what about the moon, what about the sun, what about the galaxy? This is the nature of human being, because human being wants to expand, nothing wrong with it. It is just that wrong means is being employed, in the sense, you want to expand limitlessly, but you are choosing the dimension of boundaries to expand limitlessly.
Okay, so you're saying…
What you are seeking is boundlessness, but you are seeking it through boundaries of physicality. So unless your experience of life goes beyond your physical self, this is how it'll always be. Conflict is inevitable.
But then this is something most of us will never end
up doing. That is why we are saying, why this effort right now to touch the youth, to touch the world is to bring what is called as, in Tamil Nadu we said, oru sattu anmikam, one drop spirituality.
Okay.
Spirituality does not mean you have to take sannyas and walk on the street or do something else, sit in a temple, this is not what it is. Within you, your experience is little more than body and mind, something beyond that has become a living experience for you. If this one thing happens, you will naturally function consciously. This compulsive need to expand will go away, because once you touch a non-physical dimension, then you are boundless. Once there is an experience of boundlessness, you understand physicality has to be managed. In this world, we have to make space for the tree, the ant, the bird, the elephant and the other people also. Not as a philosophy, but as a living experience.
This is all coming from some sort of greed and expansion.
I wouldn't use the word greed. This is longing to expand limitlessly, which is essentially a spiritual desire finding physical expression. Wrong means. It's like you're driving your car but you want to go to the moon. If you try very hard, you will be in Hussain Sagar.
Maybe we are doing it unconsciously.
Totally unconsciously.
This need to expand is very unconscious.
See, the need to expand is wonderful, otherwise human beings wouldn't progress. But it's being conducted unconsciously, and we have misunderstood this longing to expand limitlessly as a physical need, because right now our experience is limited to physical self.
So, this is one question in the segment that comes from a boy called Bapu Chaitanya. So, Bapu wanted me to ask you, is being patriotic or is patriotism good?
See, a nation is an artificial situation we have created in the world. What is the ideal? Well, it would be fantastic if it was a global village or nation as we call it. But will the globe happen without management?
For management we need…
No, no, we anyway have to have a leader.
Yeah.
Now, should we have an Indian leader, African leader, American leader? Question will come. Then fight will start. That's how nations have happened. Who should manage which part of the world? Because we could never agree that who should manage the whole world. So we made it into small parts. Well over 200 parts. Well, we could strive to make 4 or 5 nations in the world instead of 200 nations at some point. Now European Union is there, similarly we can make an American Union, an Asian Union and make just 3 or 4 nations. It looks like a good possibility, but there is also a prospect that if they get heavily armed, if 2 continents go to war with each other, there'll be no small wars, there'll always be only world wars. So in some ways, the way it's broken, it's okay because it's broken on cultural lines, linguistic lines, so many things, religion, this, that, in so many ways it's broken, it's best to preserve that. Now, is patriotism a good thing? Patriotism means an emotion towards your nationality or your nation. See, do you believe that you can build a family without investing your emotion?
As in, build a family, maybe not. Have a family, yes. But build a family, no.
Well, I was not talking about an arrangement. I'm saying, can you really get the best out of the people around you, whom you call as family, if you do not invest your emotion in
that? We can't.
No. So when you can't build a nation of four people, family is a nation of four people.
Mm.
If you can't build a nation of four people, how are you supposed to build a nation of 125 crore people without investing emotion in it?
Mm.
Is this emotion ultimate? No. But it is an immediate need. And a nation is the largest amount of humanity, volume of humanity that you can handle right now. 125 crore or 1.25 billion people is a world by itself. So do you need emotion? Yes. This emotion must be graduated as a nation grows into different levels of evolution. Right now we have a nation where over 400 million people have not eaten properly yet. Even today there is a report in the newspapers saying that the World Health Organization says the most underdeveloped children on the planet are in India. We are not dying anymore, but we are underdeveloped. Skeletal system is not growing fully. From first day, they have not eaten properly. The necessary nutrients are not there to develop a full-scale human being. So we are creating underdeveloped humanity, which is not a small crime, it's a crime. This crime is on all of us, all right? This crime is on all of us that our children are all stunted. We have the maximum number of stunted human beings on the planet right now. When it's like this, this is not a time for debate whether we should invest our emotion or not. Still after 70 years, daily we have issues on our borders. Daily soldiers are dying, all right?
Yes.
If only, if you tell all the soldiers who are standing, because I've been engaged with the armed forces, with the BSF, with the Indian Army, Coast Guard and all of them, ITBP, all these people, if you only tell them, I've been to Siachen, I've met the Siachen warriors on the yoga day. If you look at the hardship they're going through on a daily basis, not fighting the enemy, just the natural elements, at 22,000 feet, camping out there, continuously being there 12 months of the year, if you just tell them, this nation doesn't mean anything to them, at least they can go back to their families. When a man stands there on the border, willingly to sacrifice his own life, willing to widow his wife, willing to orphan his own children, is it a small thing? Have you even understood what we're talking about? So if you tell them, we are not interested in the country, they can also go home and do their own thing. So, these are different levels of evolution in a country. Right now, sovereignty of the nation is constantly under threat. And millions of people, nearly a half a billion people are not even fed properly. In this state, we need a lot of patriotism. You know? Every one of us should be Bharat Mata Ki Jai right now. Let us say in another 25 years, all these people are fed, everybody is comfortable and well-to-do, everybody is getting the education and the nutrition and stuff, then you must downscale your patriotism a little bit. Let's say tomorrow it all becomes Asia, Europe, everything becomes very friendly, it's all business and no war, we will lower our militaries and everything, nuclear arms are down, then you can further lower your patriotism, down, down. Someday if it's such a situation comes, we can live here without even thinking I'm Indian. Will be wonderful day, but that's far away. Right now you need it. You need it in full force because the sovereignty of the nation is in trouble and half the people have not even eaten properly. What are you talking about?
So his follow-up question was, because I'm born in this country and because it's giving me security and support, if it's okay to be patriotic and if it's, if I can be proud of being patriotic, why can't I be proud of the caste I'm born in, of the religion I'm born in, of the race, color of skin I'm born in, if they are also giving me support, if they are being a smaller support system, like a caste is a smaller size of our country itself, or a religion is also, he's born into this caste, he's born into this race. So it's like, when they are also providing me this support and stuff, why can't I be proud into the caste? Because nation is like geography, divided on geographical lines, this is divided on caste lines.
See, all these things that you mentioned of nationality, caste, religion, language, ethnicity, color of my skin, all these are... A human being is a composite of all these things.
Yeah.
You cannot exclude any one of them.
Mm.
Right now, the mode in the country is such, you know, there is an English saying called throwing the baby with the bathwater. You know how this term came? This term came because at that time, in a cold country like England, the families had bath only once a year.
Okay.
How's that for you? Not in India, okay? Even 10,000 years ago, we were still having bath every day, but English had bath only once a year.
Okay.
Because a cold country, from October onwards, it's cold, 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 only end of May, June, mid-June.
Okay.
So at that time, they have a family bath, so big bathtub. First, the man of the house will take the dip. If that guy goes in and comes out, it's already turned dark. Not because he lost his skin color, because you know, 1 year of muck. Then all the men in the house go. Then the women go, then the babies, children and babies go. So it happens sometimes that there are so many children and everything, they put them in this big tub which is murky, you can't see anything. When they want to throw the water out, some babies got thrown out. This entire thing of carrying a bride, carrying a bouquet came from this culture, because the bride smells so bad. She has to have a flower bouquet, otherwise you can't go near her. This is all this is the fragrance of the flower made her attractive. Otherwise, she's quite... because she's gone into the tub after all these men. So, we are throwing the baby with the bath water. In this culture, the caste and creed was created as a transference of knowledge and skills.
Yeah.
Because we understood in those days that whatever skills a father has, he is naturally prejudiced in favor of his children.
Yes.
So he will teach it in a best possible way to his own children. So the family traits and culture always went like this. This is the only reason why those who want their children to be really educated send them to Gurukulas, away from the family, where there is one man who's risen above his identities of blood, and he is going to teach the best to their children, but the rest of the skills, simple skills of carpentry or blacksmithry or whatever else is needed on a daily basis, this was transferred only through the family. So they maintain this close thing, a blacksmith's family means they eat in a certain way as it's necessary for their type of work. They will marry only a blacksmith's girl because she knows how to make the fire, this, that. If you marry a carpenter's girl, she won't know how to do this. So it is from this they did. Out of this, a phenomenally kaleidoscopic culture we created. It's so fantastic. From one community to another, they're living side by side in the, you know, in the neighborhood. For probably 100 years, 2-3 generations have lived. But the way they cook, this home and this home is distinctly different.
Okay.
If I go to any house, if I just smell the seasoning, I just tell them what caste you belong to.
Okay.
Just if I smell the seasoning, I know what caste you belong to.
Do you think we still cook it as...
If they're married in the same thing and traditionally women who are trained in that are there, but today most women are going to school and college, they never spent enough time in the kitchen, so...
now things
everybody
change, yeah.
smells like pizza or whatever. That's a different thing. But it is so distinctly different. You should not destroy this. The only thing we need to take away is the discrimination. Unfortunately, our differences became terrible discrimination, that we started treating people badly, this profession is low, that profession is high, if you are doing this, we will treat you badly. This discrimination we need to take, but right now we are trying to level out the whole culture, which is not going to work, and if it works, it'll be a very poor nation. We will become like other nations where everybody eats only burger, okay? Here also people are beginning to eat only burger. I have nothing against anything, but the thing about a human being is to do things in an aesthetically correct way. I don't see how it is very civilized or correct to take food which is about 7 inches tall and open your mouth 7 inches and eat it. That is the way of a crocodile. That's not the human way. We have been taught to eat in a certain way because a human being wants to do everything in a beautiful way. Dog also eats, cat also eats, but we want to eat with style. We not only want to nourish ourselves, we also want to make it into an aesthetic process in our life. If those things are taken away from our life, what is the point in the name of leveling out the society? Well, if you take away, if you make everybody into monkeys, we will all become same, of course. You just have to genetically push back everybody to be a monkey, we'll all be one kind of monkeys. That is not the intent. It is perfectly fine to be proud of your culture, to be proud of whatever you belong to, but if you have the sense to appreciate how other people are different, you also appreciate the difference. They are different and you must appreciate the difference. World is colorful, India is as colorful as it is only because all of us are so different. Every 50 kilometers you drive, people are different, they speak differently, look different, dress different, eat different, everything different. So it's fantastic, we must keep this color in the country. This is our… this color has not come just like that, 10,000 years of maturity to get this color. We should not destroy this colorful nation by believing in some kind of a silly, you know, leveling out business. But at the same time, it's very, very important that we remove the discriminatory aspect of it, and we learn to appreciate all the differences that others have.
My next topic is on love. This is an age where we all… Oh. Yeah, where we all fall in love and we all love to love and we all love being loved. So my first question is, all you need is love is a popular saying, and I've been told by people that like, money is not the most important thing, love is more important. If we have love, we can be together, we can be good. But I come from a school where I'm like, dhanam moolam idam jagat. I'm like, what will I and you love? And if we don't have money, what will we even do? So my question is having a life full of love and not much money better? Or is like going for ambition and working on our careers and making lots of money and security, but then maybe you don't find the right person, but you settle or whatever. So what is a trade-off? Because it is a trade-off. We don't have time to do both things, like most of us don't. So
I was told some things were going on in the WhatsApp and stuff, that in Hyderabad, after the demonetization, huh? Women are beginning to marry for love.
Women are making so much money, Sadhguru.
So, I would like your definition of what is it that you're calling as love.
First of all, that's another question. Like, for my personal feeling, like, I don't know. I've felt love, but I don't know how to define this word. I think this is a word that's that greeting card companies came up with to market stuff. And one more issue I had with love is, because it's so intangible, when I say I love you, you say I love you, we could be completely…
I didn't say that, huh?
Hypothetically. Hypothetically, like, if when someone says I love you, I think maybe she means that I will give a kidney, I'll give my life for you if you're in trouble, and maybe when I say I love you, I'm like…
No, she only said I'll give my heart, never the kidney.
No, but to that extent, that I will do, my life is yours. When someone says I love you, they could mean that. And I could reciprocate with I love you to the same person, but maybe my meaning is that I really like spending time with you and you're the only person, and whenever I want to go out, I want to spend time with you, and but I will not give a kidney or give my life for you. So the thing is, we just say I love you, but because it's not tangible, you never know what is the exact this thing of it. So that is one more, that's one vague conversation which will go on forever, and I have so many questions for you, and I think we're running out of
time.
No,
this
so.
Kidney love I like.
Oh, you like. But tell me what is better, this is an answer I need. Like, can we survive with love and not enough money, or is money important and then we can also find love, like whenever we can, if we do.
See, We went through this in some way in the beginning.
Okay.
What you call as myself right now is a body, a certain amount of thought and okay. ideas and whatever.
We will stick to this dimension. And if you go to another dimension, I'll lose you there.
And there is a bunch of emotions.
Okay.
And there is life energy. Mm. Without that energy, all this wouldn't be functioning.
Okay.
So these are four dimensions.
Okay.
What you're referring to as love is a certain sweetness of emotion.
Mm.
The question is not about who triggered it for you.
Mm.
It is just that because of somebody or something, you started experiencing a certain sweetness of emotion,
mm.
which became so valuable at that time, you promised a kidney.
Mm.
At that moment, because that sweetness meant so much that actually, in Hindi, they say something, what, gurda something, what is that? What is that, huh? Something, I will give away my
gurda
kidney. That same thing is said in a more
okay.
powerful way.
Okay.
So, at that moment, I'm willing to pull my kidney out and give it to you, but not the hair. That is clear, okay? So, essentially, it's sweetness of emotion.
Mm.
What sweetness means is, see, if the body becomes sweet, we call this health.
Mm.
You feel healthy because there is a certain sweetness in the body, pleasantness.
Mm.
Sweetness is pleasantness, isn't it?
Mm.
You call something sweet because you say, oh, she's so sweet because she's pleasant.
Mm.
For you, in your experience, she is pleasant.
Mm.
So, you say it is sweet.
Mm.
So, if your body becomes pleasant, we call this health.
Mm.
If it becomes very pleasant, we call this pleasure.
Mm.
If your mind becomes pleasant, we call this peace.
Mm.
You're feeling pleasant, so you say, I'm peaceful.
Mm.
It became very pleasant, you call this joy.
Mm.
Your emotions become pleasant, you call this love.
Mm.
It became very pleasant, now you call it compassion.
Mm.
If it is somewhat pleasant only for one person, we call this passion.
Mm.
It became very pleasant, we call it compassion.
Mm.
Now, you feel like that. Absolute sweetness towards the tree and the air you breathe and the people, you don't even know who they are, it doesn't matter, you have pleasantness.
Mm.
So we say compassion.
Mm.
If your very life energies become pleasant, we call this bliss.
Mm.
If it becomes very pleasant, we call it ecstasy. If your surroundings become pleasant, we call this success. So right now what you're doing is, you're pitting sweetness of emotion versus sweetness of the surroundings.
Mm. Mm.
To create sweetness of the surroundings, we need the cooperation of many forces.
Mm.
Hmm? Situations have to cooperate, people have to cooperate, many things have to fall into place.
Yeah.
Otherwise, success doesn't happen.
Mm.
Pleasantness of surroundings will not happen unless there is a skill to it, there's a talent to it, there's a certain amount of management to it, there are many things. But the sweetness of the body, the sweetness of the mind, the sweetness of the emotion and the sweetness of your energy must be 100% you're making, isn't it?
Mm.
Yes or no?
Mm.
The sweetness of the surroundings, everybody has a stake, all of them will play a role in this. But the other four dimensions, the sweetness should be managed by you. So if you are in charge of that, then you would keep this always profusely sweet. Your mind, your emotion, your body, everything, you would keep it that way. Then all these struggles wouldn't even be relevant to you. This is one dimension. Money is a means to facilitate external situations. Love is a means to create internal pleasantness. How can you use a bathroom spray to make global warming go. Can you?
I can't.
But it doesn't work like that, I'm saying.
Yeah, it doesn't. What I'm saying is, the sweetness of inside or sweetness of surroundings both require time to build that sweetness.
No.
Huh? Like if I have to be successful, sweetness
of outside needs time, yeah. Energy, effort, resource.
Like a relationship needs nurturing, you need to spend time.
See, that is the different thing. This is what I'm trying to distinguish. See, love is what happens within you.
Mm.
This is the sweetness of your heart.
Mm.
Relationship is sometimes it's hard work.
Oh, when I'm talking about love, I'm not talking spiritual, this is all
no,
relationship.
No, I'm not talking anything
everything.
Spiritual. There's nothing spiritual, this is emotion.
Okay.
See, right now, you're smiling.
Yeah.
Is it spiritual or just a regular smiler?
Spiritual dimension, I don't understand.
So that
I'm
is what,
full
you
ground.
Don't have to understand that because you don't even have to name it that. All I'm saying is, if your body is feeling pleasant, you feel
smile.
Healthy
yeah.
And nice.
Mm.
If your mind is feeling pleasant, you feel peaceful and joyful.
Mm.
If your emotion is feeling pleasant, you feel loving and compassionate.
Mm.
So, why do you want to call it spiritual, non-spiritual nonsense?
Mm.
There's no such thing.
Mm.
So right now you sit here, you have very sweet emotion, not towards anything or anybody, you're just sitting here, sweet emotions. Has it happened to you? Nobody need to be there, just like that. If there is something, you share it. If there is nothing, you can sit here with a very sweet emotion. Now, relationship is hard work.
Mm.
That is external success.
Mm.
You have to build it, you have to manage it, there are many aspects to it.
Mm.
While the other person may be looking at your external situations too, all right?
Mm.
They're not just looking at the sweetness of your heart,
they're
also looking at what you're wearing, what you're driving, how you are, who you are, everything they're looking at it.
Yeah.
So, a relationship involves those dimensions, you cannot say it is completely free of that. Well, when the Gurdha thing happens, maybe little bit they will cross that.
Mm.
But it doesn't mean it's completely free of that, no. It's always involved, physical things are involved, isn't it?
This sweetness, what did you call love? Sweetness of the heart.
Mm-hmm. Sweetness of your emotion.
Sweetness of my emotion, if it happens with 2-3 people, then
it cannot happen with 2-3 people, it can only happen within you.
Okay.
It only happens within you.
If it is happening within me.
No. 3 people are stimulating it. 3 people may be stimulating it.
Okay.
I am asking you, do you want to be a push-start machine or a self-start machine?
Self-start?
Self-start means your sweetness must be turned on by you. If you want to share it, you can share it. If you don't want to share it, you don't share it. But you must be sweet for your own self, not for some… See, love is not about somebody. It's the pleasantness of your existence, isn't it? Is it not important? Forget about other people, relationship stuff.
Mm.
But is it not important if you sit here, you are pleasant by your own nature, somebody need not come and poke you and crank you to be pleasant? Right now, what you're talking about is, 3 people have to crank me to make me pleasant. Very poor machine. You remember the old ambassadors?
Yeah.
Always they parked downslope because morning you have to push. Now all the cars are self-start. Improvement, technological improvement or no? I'm just asking you to upgrade your technology so that you self-start. If you wake up in the morning, you're full of joy and love. If somebody comes, we will share. If nobody comes, we're just fine.
One more question related to this in a very… utilitarian, very basic, in human level, our mind and eyes haven't been… You're also
don't
human,
you, don't you call me inhuman, huh?
So, once when I was… in my intermediate, and this is where your hormones are going through the roof, and this is mostly where you're attracted to the opposite sex or the same sex, depending on your choice. Once my dad sat me down and he told me, Vijay, if you buy a bottle of water, you can drink it, you can close the cap, you can keep it half full, you can know that when I reach that place, I still have half a bottle of water. You can drink it to the last sip. You can refill it if you want. It's always with you. But if you fall in love with a girl, she's not an object. She's a person. And unlike an object, she has her own feelings, her own emotions, and she can develop likes and dislikes that might not suit you. She might make decisions that you might not think are in your best interest because she has her own life and she has her own choices. So I was like, what he was trying to do was, he was telling me, focus on your career now, because that will always, if you work towards it, it will always pay back. And for love, once you're settled and stuff, you can spend time on it. Right now, it's about career. If I was a girl, he would tell me the same thing about a boy. So it again comes back to this question about, on a very real level, that we have, so many of us have to make these choices, where do we pursue ambition with all our intensity and time and energy, or do we, when you find the right person, do you try and, it's hard to find this balance though, because it's very competitive these days, and you have to give it all to survivals. You need to work harder to beat the competition and survive. Don't go on the competition trip, I'll come to it. So, like, nurturing a relationship versus nurturing ambition. Like, this was something he said. So I wanted to know your thoughts on that. Like, was he off the mark? Was he off the point? Was he...
No, in his own way, what he's trying to tell you is, there is a time to build yourself and there is a time to live. If you try to live too early, then life may not stay with you. You may end up in a place that you yourself will not like after some time. So essentially he's saying, first build your life, then you try to live. But if you try to live too early, it won't last and you won't have a big life, you'll have a very small life.
And one more thing is, we all love being loved. I'm talking again on a relationship level, that's all I know.
No, let's settle this. When you experience love, it happened within you or here? I know you've, in the movies you're showing all those heart marks flowing this way and that way in Instagram and all that. But when you felt it, it happened within you or outside of you?
It happened within me, but as a response to something.
In stimulation. That's why I said, do you want to be a self-start machine or a push-start machine? Somebody has to come and stimulate, only then you will feel sweet.
So you're saying, without any stimulation, I can sit here and just feel full of love and feel happy and stuff?
If you're self-start.
Whoa, that must be a cool place to be at, like to
see,
feel
it is cool.
It's a cool place to be at. We have to try and get there someday, like.
That's why in engineering.
But first I have to pay rents.
No, paying rent will not even be a concern.
When?
Yes.
Because you can just be under a tree and
no,
be
full of
love.
No, that's not the point. It's not being under a tree. Being under a tree is fantastic. But it's not about that. See, right now, small things are being made big because most people don't need an enemy. They're doing fine by themselves. They are self-defeating all the time. Their own thoughts, their own emotions trouble them more than the world, isn't it? Why are your thoughts and emotions working against you? Should they be working for you or against you? Which way is it?
But yeah.
If they're working for you, you think earning a living, paying a stupid rent and eating what you want is a big problem? Earthworm and grasshopper is earning its living. You, this big brain, you can't earn a living? What are you talking about?
Earthworm,
because such a big brain is working against you, that is the only problem. The only problem human beings have is, they got a big brain and the damn thing is working against them. If it is working for them, making a living, surviving in the world is not even an issue.
That's why I feel like all problems are...
Self-created.
Are nature, like they didn't structure us properly, they should have done it.
No.
The brain works first. See, now we have to sit and go to engineering.
See, what is a possibility? If there is a possibility, if you do not explore the possibility, it becomes your problem. That's all that's happened to most people. Human being is a possibility. You are not fixed like other creatures. All other creatures, nature is fixed what they can be and cannot be. With the human being, see, we did not say a tiger being, an elephant being.
Hmm.
We only said you, human being.
Yeah.
That means you know how to be. If you know how to be, will you keep your body, mind, emotion, energy in the highest level of pleasantness? Yes or no? Will you be blissed out or miserable, I'm asking, if you know how to be?
I would like to be blissed.
Yes. So should we call you human being or human animal? You're a human being, because you're the only one on this planet who has the capacity to be. That means you know how to be. If you know how to be, you will definitely be blissed out. If you're blissed out, what is the problem? Paying rent, earning a living, managing relationship, is it a problem? Everything you will do effortlessly. Now, you are not fulfilling the basic aspect of being human being. You're not being, you're trying to do everything else.
Do you think I'm capable of inner engineering from your time with me? I can't sit five… I can't meditate 5 minutes, I feel like I'm wasting time. I feel like it's the most unproductive thing type, I'm very restless.
No, that is because you've done all the wrong things.
I didn't even try it properly, but…
What I'm saying is, when it comes to doing things with the body, what one person can do, another person cannot do. When it comes to the mind, what one person can do, another person cannot do. But when it comes to the inner dimension of the life, all of us are equally competent.
Okay.
Nobody is better equipped than anybody else.
Okay.
I am not better equipped than you.
Okay.
It's the same thing. Only thing is, I paid attention to that dimension, you did not. If you're willing to pay attention, it is as much possible for you as for anybody.
32 hours.
32 hours of focus time to start with.
So my next question is, Shakespeare once said…
You missed out, focus time.
Yeah, I will…
No, we'll keep you… we'll keep you focused, don't
with
worry.
With a whip.
No, no, we have other ways. You think I'm such crude technology?
Whatever makes it…
This is very high-tech. This is very high-tech, no whips, no torture. We have other ways of doing
like, it. Like, I would love it if you just like touch something and it'll happen. Like without sitting, like
that
if you just touch me like this and inner engineering happens.
That in case I act you, act with… in a movie with you, I'll do that. Boom. And you can act.
Find some way, no, Sadhguru, you found answers to so many things. Find one way to shorten this 32 hours focus time.
We have, for certain people, we have shortened it much more.
Okay.
But generally, for most people, 32 hours.
Okay.
You must understand, normally in engineering, in ancient times, used to be 12 years.
Oh.
One solar cycle, 12 and a quarter years you must stay with the guru. From 12 and a quarter years, 32 hours I have made it.
Good job.
If you reduce it any further, it'll become ridiculous.
So, Shakespeare once said, everybody's somebody's fool in the… what it means is that always in life, there's someone who loves you more than you love them, and there's always someone you love more than they love you. So a lot of people I've met are in situations where they have to choose between the one that loves them or the one that they love.
I thought that happened only in the London society. It's happening in Hyderabad also.
Here also, everywhere it's because now we are meeting a lot of more people, interaction,
I understand,
exposure.
But why don't you pick the one that you want? Why are you in the wrong place all the time?
Pick the one that you want.
No, no, you are saying you love somebody, but she loves somebody else and…
That's how life is, no, unfortunately.
So that is because you're making all the wrong choices, obviously.
No, but it's nature.
It's not nature, do not…
It is.
Do not…
Haven't you all met someone who loves you more than you love them and who you love more than they love you? Sometimes there is love both ways.
No.
you just tell me in one line what is a better. Stay with the one who loves you more or
see,
the one you want to be.
This is not a prescription. All I'm saying is, why are we continuously going this way when we want to go this way? If you want to go this way, please go this way. You want to go this way, you go this way.
Now it is one
now what
B.
You're
what I'm like, which way?
What you're asking is… Is this better or this better?
Yeah.
There's no such thing.
Huh?
No direction in the world is better than the other. No person in the world is better than the other. If you put your heart into something, it becomes wonderful. It is not the best thing. It is just that for you it's wonderful because you invested your involvement.
But from there, if they don't invest, gone, no, Sadhguru?
Like that gives you a lot of freedom.
So you're just saying hit and trial method, like go for it.
No. I'm saying that gives you a lot of freedom because you experience love and they don't, and they won't bind you. It's very wonderful.
It's not, Sadhguru. It's not at all wonderful.
Because you are looking at a transaction. Transactions, you have to use your brains, not your heart.
Okay. So there you have to think what is best for our future.
Yes.
And
if it's a transaction, in transaction you have to use your brains. You're talking about a love affair. So there you have to use your heart. In a transaction, then you must use your brains.
My next topic is one of the most controversial, but it's religion. Does religion serve any purpose, Sadhguru? Like in these times, like is there any purpose to religion?
See, you must understand this. In the East, in this culture, in India, we don't have a religion. We've never had a religion.
Dharma, yes.
Dharma means a law. We have laws. Right now, to drive on the street, there is a law. Between husband and wife, there is a dharma, a certain kind of law. You must maintain those things, otherwise, however close people are, things will go bad if you don't maintain certain things. Between father and son, there is a dharma. Between the king and the praja, there is a dharma. Like this we created. Of all these things, we said, these dharmas have to be debated in every generation and be amended and amended continuously. But there is one dharma that you do not amend. This is called as Sanatana Dharma, that means the eternal law. Sanatana Dharma does not mean a religion as it's being claimed today. It means an eternal law. What is an eternal law? Physical is always transforming, evolving, changing. So that cannot be an eternal law. You have to fix new laws. See, there was a time, suppose with an axe, within half a day if you can bring down this tree, you would be a hero in this village because just clearing the tree was such a big feat. But today if you bring down this tree, if you as much as bring an axe, we're going to arrest you and throw you in the prison, all right? So now the dharma has changed because the situation has changed. When it was a time when the entire region was forest, to build your home, to build a village, if you could knock down a tree and make space for people to live, people thought you're a hero. But now if you cut the tree, you're the enemy of the people. So dharma has changed. So we said all the dharma should change, but one thing should not change, which is an eternal law. What is the eternal law about? A dimension which is not physical.
Again.
For that, there is no change of laws.
Okay.
It is the same law.
Okay.
So this is called a swadharma or sanatana dharma. So the knowledge or the dharma of the self beyond the body is sanatana dharma. So that is what we valued most because that is permanent. Rest of the things are changing and evolving. All this culture got disrupted because continuous invasions for 1,000 years. Everything got disrupted. People who are repositories of this knowledge, everything were killed and you know, all kinds of things we've gone through. Let's not revisit that. But essentially, whether you take Hindu way of life, Jains, Buddhists, Sikhs, nowhere there is a God. There's no God. All the people whom you worship are people who walk this geography at one time. Yes or no? In Telangana and Andhra Pradesh, there is history of Rama walking down to Sri Lanka and again walking up. People celebrate those places where he sat down, where he stayed for 2 days, where he did this and that, so many things.
They were all just spreading this dharma or…
No. They were just living their life.
Okay.
Unfortunately, their life occupied them with so many tragedies, kidnappings and wars and stuff. But I'm saying there is proof that they walked this planet, they walked this country. We worship them because they showed that they had something in them which it would not change no matter what kind of drama they went through. Wars happened, kidnappings happened, death happened, all kinds of horrible things happened in their life. But they were free from it. So because the highest value in this culture is freedom or liberation, which we refer to as mukti, if you listen to the conversations of your mother or maybe your grandmother, in daily conversation without uttering the word mukti, moksha, karma, prarabdha, there is no conversation in this country. Yes or no? Every day, not spiritual conversation. Daily conversation, if they sit down and stand up, they'll say, your karma, prarabdha, mukti, moksha, when will I get mukti? This is the talk always, because the entire country was invested towards liberation, not God. We use these people as symbols of liberation. Even though life put them through all kinds of trials and tribulations, they remained above it. So we see that they are free. They are in a certain state of freedom that the physical world never disturbed them. But at the same time, they were not withdrawn. They were actively engaged in the physical world. Fighting a battle means absolute involvement, isn't it? When you're pitching your life out there, can't be any more involvement in life. So they're absolutely involved, but at the same time untouched by life. So we worship that quality because they're representing mukti. They're representing absolute freedom from life. So it's because of that, these people became symbols, whether Rama, Krishna, Buddha, Guru Nanak or whoever, they all became symbols of mukti. Even when they were living, they were free. Actively involved, but free.
But does the religion serve a purpose? You're saying it is like a rule book that we follow to stay civilized?
No. There is no rule book in India.
But you called it the law.
See, the law, that's what I said. Law, the reason why Indians are full of questions and now youth are asking all these questions is because this is a land of debate.
Yeah, which is very good, like I…
When Shiva came, when Adiyogi Shiva came, he is a personality of that kind, that in front of him nobody would ask a question, but his wife asked him a million questions. That is what is Shiva Sutras. And his seven disciples asked thousands of questions. Well, you know Arjuna and Krishna, that question answer business is big in India. See, Arjuna and Krishna are so intimate with each other, they know each other so well. But that guy in a crucial moment, how many questions he has? Because in this culture, dharma has always been a point of debate, because dharma has to evolve, all dharmas have to evolve, except the Sanatana dharma or the eternal law or the Swadharma need not evolve because that is not changing. So this is a land of seekers of truth and liberation. Here there's no religion as such. We've taken this religious attitude from outside, because outside heavy competition came. Once it came, we thought we must also organize ourselves like that. We are trying to, but we will never will, because the best thing about Hindus is we are always confused. No, it's a very good thing. Confusion means you have questions in questions. Otherwise, you have stupid conclusions about everything. The idiotic conclusions that people have made have destroyed this planet, killed millions of people around the world, simply because somebody has an idiotic conclusion about everything in life, isn't it? So, we don't have this is it kind of book. Our books are all debates. So people think we are confused. But we don't think confusion is a bad thing. We are joyfully confused. That's a great thing. You have concluded something. If I ask two questions, your conclusion will fall apart. That is why if I ask a question, you will kill me. Questioners have always been killed in every other culture, do you know this? They ask a question, you kill the man. That's one way of handling the questions. But if you entertain the question, it will lead to more and more and more. And this is how we've always been. So this is a godless, religionless land. But we have managed this culture well because this is based on human consciousness, not on heaven, not a ruling power up there. Here we have always managed humanity by activating human consciousness. We told you, your life is your karma. What this means is, your life is your doing, nobody managing it from ever, anywhere else. Essentially, this whole movement, what I'm calling as inner engineering, is a movement from religion to responsibility. This is where we need to go, that every human being who sits here is responsible for who the hell they are and who the hell they're not. what they are and what they are not, they are taking complete responsibility for that. Only then individual human beings will live well, only then a nation will live well.
Some of the questions I'm asking with regards to religion is just like…
You're just trying to get me into trouble, I understand.
No, it's actually… it's actually like you could say pass Sadhguru if you do not want… You can just say pass this question.
No, no, but I don't pass any question because… you know, that's why I'm sitting in the police lines.
Oh yeah, I know that. So, like some of these questions come from across, I think the youth that follow me, especially my friends, come from across religions and cultures, and these are things everyone questions from, be you a Hindu, a Muslim or a Christian. I think everyone… So I'm asking, some of these questions are very general, they don't come from any particular religious point of view. One question I had is, do you think these loud religious processions or rallies or these chants and prayers that are pushed over loudspeakers across religions, do you think it stems from some sort of insecurity or competition between religions? Is it necessary to have such a loud public display? Like, people have a problem with PDA, but if I hug someone or kiss someone, I'm at least not shouting. It's at least quiet. It's not disturbing anyone. So, do you think it's coming from some space of insecurity, these extremely loud display of religious fervor?
No, competition.
Competition. It stems from that. Yes. So, if everyone's more relaxed, you think all this…
Because religions are always trying to improve their numbers.
Okay.
Other religions are turning up the volume.
Yeah. To keep their
to
numbers
keep their
or
numbers.
Increase their numbers. Yeah, sad.
If people, especially those people who believe all life is made by God, I don't see why. You have to strive to make me belong to your God, because anyway you are saying, your God only created me. I will also accept, okay, your God created me, all right, then leave me alone, no. Anyway, I belong to your God. He can take me back whenever he wants.
But now I think…
I'm not resisting.
This has become like political numbers.
Yes.
And so it's just like various…
See, people have understood, not today, for a few thousand years they have understood. It is not only after democratic governments came, they have understood. Even before they understood, numbers is power.
Okay.
So it's a power game. They would like power beyond politics. You understand? It is not about transformation, it is not about liberation, it's about power, enslavement of people.
Since I was growing up and now we are in the Ganesh Chaturthi season of the year, it has always been like after Diwali, it was my most favorite festival, because in school we would make these chariots, take a procession and it would be celebration, we would all enjoy it. But once I grew up, I wondered, once I came to the city and saw the amount of clutter it creates, I always wondered, it's a social celebration, we celebrate together. I wondered why one big Ganesha for the entire city, like a Jagannath Yatra or something for example, why can't we all have one at home and then just the entire city celebrate together with one, instead of making three every street and then it has one domino effect of polluting, because people are careless. It was not meant to be this way probably when it started. But now that we have made it this, do you think like a rule passed by the government that one Ganesha, it would have political repercussions, so no one will dare do it. But doesn't it make more sense?
See, we can do it at some point. That, see right now, in many cities it's been made like this. For example, Diwali crackers. Everybody is supposed to come to one big ground in the city and all the children come there and burst their crackers. Instead of bursting it all over the place in certain towns and cities, it's slowly being cultivated.
Okay.
Not 100% mandatory,
okay,
but it's being pushed in that direction.
Okay.
Don't burst crackers all over the town.
Okay.
Everybody assemble in one place and do it.
Okay.
The next step would be, like in United States and other places for their, you know, July 4th and stuff, they have major firecrackers.
Okay.
Suppose the city itself sets up 1 hour long, big, major, spectacular firecrackers, then people will come and watch.
No, I don't think our thrill is about watching it as much as the adrenaline.
No, that is what I'm saying.
Hand and throwing.
See, the thing is, all the dum-dum ones, they can do it in their home.
Okay.
Children like to do it. Oh, we thoroughly enjoyed it. I will not deny to the children of this day that they should not burst crackers because somebody thinks pollution. If we are polluting with crackers, next 3 days, let's walk to the office.
Compensate for
Yes, that's all. You can't take away every aspect of culture using pollution. Sure. I think it's a very motivated push that certain people are doing, which is not right. Coming to the Ganesha, it's very much a possibility, but maybe one will not work for the entire city when a population is like
huge.
15 million, 20 million people, one may not work. Probably for every area or every three, four, you know, extensions, maybe a population of 1 million,
one.
So if you have 15 million population, 15 Ganapatis, they all come to one place and in one big procession they go, the entire town participates in that, would be fantastic actually. It is a direction in which we have to push. We made some attempt. We have done this with Pongal in Tamil Nadu. There are 4 days of Pongal. There's one Pongal for the implements and other things, there's one Pongal for the people, one Pongal for the animals which work with us in the farm, and there's one Pongal for reaching out to people, our neighbors and everything. So like this, they're different Pongals. So these 4 days, everybody is doing in their own way. Now we've done this in our ashram, we invite thousands of people to come, and together we are giving them an open field in the ashram to cook there openly, and it's like a big festival, we organize music and folk dancers and everything. So people come in thousands and celebrate their Pongal there, instead of each one doing in their own home, because slowly they don't know what to do. All they do with a festival means just eating. There is no other celebration. Nobody is there to organize music, folk dance. This all used to happen in the villages. But now we are organizing it in the yoga center so that people come there and participate. Things like this can be created in every town in open fields where big celebration happens, organization and talent display, children can participate, which people cannot do by themselves individually. Definitely we need to think in that direction. We should maybe push Hyderabad first in that direction, why not?
We should, if they don't screw my happiness for bringing this up,
no,
we should.
This is why you must do inner engineering, that nobody can mess with your happiness. They can maybe sabotage the activity, but they cannot mess with your happiness. People keep asking me, I keep unleashing one project after another which involves massive outlay of finance, activity, people. People say, Sadhguru, all this one after another you're doing, suppose it fails? If it fails, what to do? If everything fails, I will still die blissfully. But I don't want to die without making an attempt to create what we want to create. Because nobody can mess my happiness. You come, we will fix you up, so nobody can mess your happiness. Once this one assurance is there in you, nobody can take away my joy. You will do many more things in life, isn't it?
I don't know, if I'm just happy all the time, maybe I won't
do
much.
No, tell me. You tell me, on a certain day you're very happy. Hmm. On that day you're willing to do more, or you're unhappy. On that day you're willing to do more.
I'm mostly happy when I'm not doing anything.
That's not the point. See, that is because of excessive work. One day when you get a break, you think like that.
Yeah.
But you tell me, when you're happy, you're willing for more activity.
Yeah, you're more energized than you can...
You're willing to bend backwards and do what's needed, isn't
it? True.
When you're unhappy, we can't make you take one step.
True. Point. Actually, true, no? Very true.
100%, huh? So we'll fix up your happiness in such a way that nobody can mess your happiness. Mm. Let's get the Ganapati thing going in Hyderabad.
Yeah. One more thing I was wondering was, because Ganapati is such a huge thing, I was wondering, and all the people are very... excited and passionate about this, but one day I was thinking, if instead of having a whole Ganesha statue and taking this procession and music and dance and the celebration, what if culturally from long back, from when it started, it was about these 3, 7, 9, 11 days, you clean your locality, clean the city. Do you think people would have participated in the festival as much if it was about cleaning rather than an easier job of taking
See, that participation was there when we were rural communities, because everybody knew everybody. Here nobody knows, most people don't know who is their neighbor.
Yeah,
so they were not willing to go and clean that.
Yeah, you feel desensitized to someone else's mess, why should
I? So today we are expecting an organized municipality or a corporation to do that. So we don't have to get into that. But even if people can just get together, culturally come together, irrespective of their caste, creed and religion, that itself is a great thing. That is cleaning up the society, not the streets. And in that we can always bring, after the Ganapati festival, after the procession goes, the street should be cleaner than the way it started. Not that after the procession goes, it's a heap of filth. That awareness if we bring, it's good enough.
Yeah, we have to try. I think they've been trying it over years to do
They don't know how to do mass movement. You tell me if we… I don't have the time right now, but if I stand up, we can easily do that.
We should try and do. Isn't it save like a…
Everybody keep one small Ganesha at home.
Yeah.
Bring your Ganesha and surrender to the big Ganesha in the locality. This big Ganesha, all of them start off at the same time, 15-20 of them in the town. Everybody goes, everybody at least gets to walk 10 kilometers, which itself is a great feat.
Yeah.
They don't have to swim in Hussain Sagar, but at least they walk to it.
Yeah.
That itself is a big thing.
My next question is from a boy called Ganesh Kumar, which was…
Oh.
So the question, this is related to family. So he was asking, should I care and be concerned and put effort towards family who don't care about you as much? They are my family, but they don't care, they don't show any sort of appreciation for what I do and how much effort I'm putting. And they're so distant, they don't even wish during festivals or… And we all have relationships in life, be it friends, be it family, be it colleagues. Somehow some people just don't… are not grateful for having you or don't give you the acknowledgement for the effort you put in towards this. So, should you care enough to continue putting this effort towards them or should you just cut them off from your life? I am the cut-off batch.
What you wish to do, how much you wish to do with individual people is an individual choice. Mm. It's not for me to say something without knowing the realities of your life.
True.
But in general, why should your caring stop? Your activity or your time and your investment of time could be altered depending upon what is the relationship. But when you say family, generally you're talking about parents and siblings and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, today you've grown up and become a young man standing on your feet, but you must understand you were not born like this.
Yes.
You were born as a helpless infant. So somebody cared enough to someone who pees on you, who shits on you, who doesn't know how to eat, who doesn't know how to stand up, nothing. Somebody cared and made sure today you're standing up on your feet. That did not happen without any love or care, it happened, all right? Well, you may not be… you may be measuring and saying, oh, some other parents are loving their children so much more, mine are not loving that much. This is a silly way to look at it, but they've made you stand up on your feet. If you have no love for them, at least have gratitude. If you lose your gratitude, unknowingly, in some way, you're kind of forsaking your humanity. Not that only if you're grateful you'll be human, that's not the point. But gratitude is a simple way of keeping some things alive within yourself, sensitive to contributions that come to your life. If you lose that, then you'll slowly become absolutely reckless and careless about everything, which is not a good thing for you. Forget about them, it's not a good thing for you.
But this applies to parents, I understand, because when you were helpless like one animal, they brought you up and…
I didn't know you were born as an animal, I thought…
I think that kids, babies are pretty much animals. They piss everywhere, poop everywhere, cry, bawl. So like kids I think are pretty much animals. As you grow up, I think you become smarter and cultured.
But a whole lot of people say, I want to be like a child.
I think they mean like in their school. In their school where they're just running around and everything was taken care. But I was asking you, like what you said, definitely we should be grateful for the people who brought you up. But what about siblings who didn't offer so much to your growth or friends or work colleagues, for example?
See, relationships, any kind of relationship, if we are straight about it, as you already mentioned once in this conversation, it's a kind of a transaction.
Yeah.
No transaction will continue for long if it is just one way.
Yeah.
In some way, both the parties have to benefit, only then it goes on, whether it's market or marriage, that's the reality.
Yeah.
Only if both the parties are benefiting, transactions will go on.
Yeah.
Otherwise, transactions will cease.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for this, you don't have to think, I want to cut off, I stop caring. Why? If transactions don't go on, slowly things…
die down by themselves.
Maybe not die down, maybe absent for some time, somewhere you meet them and boom, once again you can hug them for some time. I'm saying relationships need not be thought in terms of, okay, it's over, I'm going to cut it off. This is a silly way of doing things. When transactions don't work, slowly, so far, it's just… that's how it is. The wise way of handling life.
My next…
Otherwise, when you cut relationships consciously like that, I'm going to cut it, you will turn friends into enemies. What is that for? Enemies need a lot more management than friends. Yes.
Okay. So, once I knew I was doing this and it was Youth and Truth, I decided to put up an interactive message so that I get representation from the youth as well and get some questions to ask you. A lot of them asked about Atma, some about happiness, and there was a overwhelming amount of messages coming, especially from Tamil Nadu, that were asking about the issue of land grabbing near your ashram. And I know that this question has been asked several times, and I think you have even given an answer, but there is still a feeling that land grabbing has happened, and I don't know where this is. I don't know the truth about any of this. I'm completely ignorant. I haven't read the actual accusation.
They did
or
not talk about the kidneys?
Kidneys, no.
Kidney grabbing, they didn't talk.
Kidney grabbing, no.
They've been going on with kidney grabbing for some time because it didn't work. Now they've come to land grabbing in the last 3 years.
Oh, it's been
the last 25 years. Some campaign is going.
Okay.
That I've killed 100 elephants.
Okay.
Raised out a full rainforest. Nobody knows where the rainforest is. And I killed 100 elephants with just my bare hands. And I pull kidneys out, you better check it out, you might have lost one. And this land grab. I've said this openly, I shouldn't say it too often, but because you're saying young people from Tamil Nadu are asking, I'll invite these young people, your fans, ask them to make a group of whatever, 10-20 people who are very smart.
Okay.
Let them come with all the maps and panchayat documents, everything. Anywhere, either private land, government land, forest land, 1 inch, not 1 acre, 1 inch, if Isha Foundation has grabbed 1 inch of land, this is the last you'll see of me, I'll leave the country. How… is that good enough?
So, I'm saying this will put out…
No, yeah. I'm saying this is going on like this.
Mm.
People said, they campaigned, they made videos of how elephants are dying in the ashram, okay?
Okay.
All animated videos were made.
Okay.
They said full forest was removed. Then we put out the Google Maps. The land was not in our hands in 2006. It was somebody else's land. Later on we bought it. From 2006 onwards, there are Google Maps. We put out the Google Maps, it shows it's barren land.
No vegetation.
No. And you see the Google Maps from 2006 to now, has vegetation gone up or gone down? Well, before that there were no Google Maps. Check the panchayat records. All the survey numbers that we own today, just check the panchayat records from 1994, since we own these lands. What were the crops before 1994? Was that forest? Was it even trees? Or was it crops, dry crops mostly? Well, check the panchayat records, don't go by what I say. But without checking, young people, if they are interested in truth or they're interested in just slander, you have done enough slander, United Nations recognizes me as the ecological champion in the world, okay? We are part of their program. We have the highest ecological award in the country, Indira Gandhi Paryavaran Puraskar. Wildlife Trust of India says that not an inch has been taken. Forest Department in Tamil Nadu says there is absolutely no encroachment. Ministry of Environments and Forests says there is no encroachment anywhere, nor are we in any way obstructing any wildlife. In fact, we've blocked all the hunters and others and sandalwood cutters and everybody, so we've made enemies, of course. We made enemies from vested interests, and they're going on for last 25 years. Young people must be interested in truth. I will open all the records. Panchayat is there, forget about my records. I'll open the gates of ashram for you to come and stay there for a week and investigate everything. Talk to all the agencies concerned. If 1 inch is taken, only 1 inch, if it's taken, I'll leave. Is that good enough for the young people?
Have all these been put out, the UN, UNESCO?
Everything is there on the website.
Okay. Oh, all the documents.
Yes, everything is there. This just goes on simply because it's a motivated media. Anonymous media on the social media thing, they just go on saying the same things. So if they're genuine, if these fans of yours are genuine youth concerned about the ecology, concerned about justice in Tamil Nadu, please let them come and investigate whichever way they want. I'll open the entire document segment, it's all digitized, our documents. We'll open the entire thing, you can look at it. Then go and refer to it in the panchayat documents, that is also reasonably digitized. If there is any encroachment, please show me. All agencies have found there is no encroachment. And above all, am I interested in a stupid piece of land that you have? This is because certain people want access to the forest and we are sitting there as a block, because it's at the tri-junction.
Tri-junction?
Tri-junction means three state borders are there.
Okay.
There is certain activity going on. It is those people who are carrying on this campaign endlessly. Oh. And why, you know, ask the police. Ask the police what all they've been doing, because they want access to the jungle.
Because it has resources?
No, they have their own other agendas.
Okay. But if there is a really interested bunch of kids who really want to know and they can spread
the word…
I'm
telling you…
I will get…
Right now, I will keep you as the contact.
I will…
If there are 10-15 people, sensible people who have some knowledge about this, want to come and examine, I'll do it. But after that, you and your fans must openly speak, this is absolute rubbish.
They will, these 10-15 and…
Please.
They will.
Please do that now.
If there are interested
people… It will save a lot of time and energy for me answering this idiotic stuff all the time.
I think we could have done… If this wasn't an issue, we could have done one other question instead of this.
Life is going waste because it's going on like this, the same thing.
The
why I'm speaking like this is because young people who are with me, these are not people who come for money. These are volunteers. They came in their 20s and they worked hard to build this entire thing. You must come and see what we have built. In the world, it's one of the unique places that we have built on the planet. People are coming from across the world today, and it's appreciated everywhere in the country. It is on the Incredible India campaign, but these people are unhappy. I will tell you to what extent they're prejudiced. A group of government officials come for inspection, all right, including the collector. So one official says they have built a factory shed without permission.
Visha has built.
So, we ask, where is the factory shed? We have not built anything. He points at Adiyogi statue and says, this is a factory shed. The collector asks, what is this? You're calling Adiyogi as factory shed? He says, as far as I am concerned, it's a factory shed, because inside it has steel structure, outside it has sheet metal, it's a factory shed. You've seen the Adiyogi statue?
I've seen
the images.
Yeah.
Looking at the Adiyogi statue, if you're calling it a factory shed, just tell me, who is this man? We have permission for a monument, we build a monument, but that guy wants to categorize Adiyogi statue as a factory shed and put some case on us. Tell me who, you must think through this politically, who is calling Adiyogi as a factory shed? So this is what young people are being influenced by. please come and examine if you want. Whatever you want, all right?
Done,
and 15 years ago, how the mountain was, today how it is, how green it is.
There are images.
Oh, please check it out, no, don't believe me. The entire mountain has turned green. Who did it? You think all these idiots who are writing nonsense did it? Millions of trees have gone up on the mountain. Who did it? Please check it out. People ask, where is the proof you planted?
Mm.
Well, go walk into the mountain and see all the trees are 18-20 years old. That doesn't happen in a forest, isn't it? In a rainforest, if you find except bamboo, all the trees are 18-20 years old, somebody must have put it, isn't it? You don't want to give me the credit, leave it. Somebody put it 18-20 years ago after we came. Maybe I didn't do it, Shiva did it, it's okay. It's fine. We are not asking for credit, we are happy it's green.
But I hope that this issue clears out and everyone
has
their answer.
No, no, this issue will never clear out.
At least for the non-motivated, because I've seen that seeing this discussion, people who are not motivated also tend to take sides, as in
no,
this new influence.
I'm saying this issue will never clear, because they will come up with new things and new things all the time. Otherwise, they'll go on saying it because these are people, this is a Nazi mindset.
Mm.
They believe that if they tell a lie 100 times, it'll become true. Unfortunately, in this country, they've learned that. So, if these youth, we are talking youth and truth, if they're interested in truth, let them take a week off, come and examine every document, every survey stone around the boundary. If 1 inch is there, I will leave.
Can they bring cameras?
You will never see me again, huh? You can bring cameras, please.
Okay.
You can bring cameras. I will set up a team to take you around, which is all our property. If we have occupied any forest land, as you're claiming, you will not see me again. Is that good enough?
Then I'll let them know.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sadhguru.
Hmm? Please, take care. There is something that you need to handle right now.